Welcome to Today on Broadway for Wednesday, April 20th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Broadway Star's James Marino.
James, since today is 420, will you play some Hair or Reefer Madness or Passing Strange as our intro and outro music today?
I have no idea what you mean.
Right. All right. Happy birthday to the folks at Circle in the Square who celebrated 1 year of Fun Home on Broadway last night. Congratulations, guys. Oh, and hey, why don't you guys follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broadway Radio? Why don't you? You'll see some fun things like the incredibly hilarious Judy Gold making fun of me for mispronouncing her name on yesterday's show. We'll have fun. Join us. All right, James, let's do this.
So 420, Matt, I don't know. Maybe we'll do a Fast Times at Ridgemont High musical.
I thought you... didn't know what that meant, James.
Oh, we better talk about the Outer Critics Circle nominations.
All right. Yesterday morning, Something Rotten's Brian Darcy James and Disaster's Jennifer Simard announced the nominees for the 2016 Outer Critics Circle Awards. Even though these awards are open to both Broadway and off-Broadway productions, they are a pretty good indicator for what to expect from the Tony nominations. There are a few category differences that wreak havoc with it. But over the past decade, two-thirds of the eligible OCC nominees went on to earn Tony nominations, and that's been over 70% since 2012. So that's a pretty good barometer for what to expect on May 3rd. Okay, before we get into the awards, a couple things to keep in mind. Because their off-Broadway incarnations were eligible for last year's awards, only new elements were considered for Hamilton, Blackbird, and Disaster. And also, since Shuffle Along is the last show to open on Broadway this season and the Outer Critics deadline was even earlier, they asked to be considered in next year's awards. According to Showbiz 411's Roger Friedman, the reason is basically because the show isn't ready, and director George C. Wolfe and company need all the time available to get themselves in good shape for the press and Tony voters, which begin coming to the show on April 25th. All right, back to the OCCs. Broadway musicals American Psycho and She Loves Me tied for the most nominations with 8 apiece, followed by Bright Star and On Your Feet, who each had 7. Then Off-Broadway's Dear Evan Hansen had 6. There were a few things that really jumped out to me. First, in the Outstanding Featured Actress in a Play category, 4 of the 5 nominees were women of color, and they were all 4 in plays written by Danai Gurira, either Eclipsed or Familiar. The nominees include Pascal Armand, Zainab Jah, Judith Light, Saikhan Singhbla, and Myra Lucretia Taylor. Similarly, the John Gassner Award, which is presented to an American playwright, preferably a new writer on the New York scene, featured 4 women and a Latino man: Lindsay Ferrantino, Lauren Gunderson, Martina Mayock, Marco Ramirez, and Anna Ziegler. So that's pretty exciting. I was also a little surprised with the lack of love that either School of Rock or Noises Off received. Alex Brightman got the only nomination between the two shows, and James, you know, neither got out-and-out raves, but they were both pretty well-received, and I expected to at least a little love for Megan Hilty or another member of that cast, so I was kind of surprised by that. The Drama League Awards are announced tomorrow, the nominees are announced tomorrow. They're a little bit of a different animal, but they have just separate categories for each production type, and then they put all of the performance nominations in one category. So it's a little different than these, but these were pretty interesting. Gave us our first taste of what we can expect from the Tony Awards next month.
American Psycho nominated, but we don't see much Waitress stuff here. Interesting.
Waitress did okay. I think it had 4 nominations, which was pretty interesting. It, you know, that's kind of been the darling so far of the Broadway season in the spring here. So we'll see what happens as the rest of these awards come out.
Speaking of awards, we had the Lifetime Achievement Awards were announced for the upcoming Tony Awards.
They were. Last week, the Tony Awards Administration Committee announced the Tony honorees. And yesterday, they announced that lyricist Sheldon Harnick and director Marshall W. Mason would each receive a Lifetime Achievement Award in this June ceremony. It was already shaping up to be a pretty good night for Harnick, as 2 of his musicals, Fiddler on the Roof and She Loves Me, are likely to be facing off in the Best Revival of a Musical category. In addition to those 2 shows that are currently running, Harnick and his longtime writing partner, the late Jerry Bock, wrote Fiorello, Tenderloin, The Apple Tree, and The Rothschilds. Harnick has 3 Tony Awards already, a Pulitzer, a Grammy, and countless other awards, and it was recently announced that his newest show, Kid Victory, written with new collaborator Greg Pierce, will have its New York premiere at the Vineyard Theater during the 2016-2017 season. Marshall W. Mason is a six-time Tony nominee, either as a director or a producer. He directed 11 shows on Broadway and served as the founding artistic director of the Circle Repertory Company. Mason worked closely with playwright Lanford Wilson for over 44 years and last directed on Broadway in 1993 with Wilson's Redwood Curtain. So two really deserving longtime pillars of the Broadway community.
So Harnack has got a Pulitzer. Does he have one of these POTUS awards that you were talking about yesterday?
POTUS awards? No, he does not. I do not believe he has an Academy Award.
Really?
Or an Emmy. I'll look. I don't know. But you got to remember, the Academy Awards, they only recognize songs that were written specifically for the film. They don't just do general musicals. So it's a little different than it would be for a theatrically based award.
Is an Emmy in the POTUS Awards?
It's not POTUS, James.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord.
So Cher coming to Broadway.
She's got an Academy Award. Yeah, Cher actually was on Broadway once before in, James Dean show, something about Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean or something. Yeah. But last night, Michael Riedel posted a column in which he reported that a Cher bio musical is ready to be presented to producers Jeffrey Seller and Flati Suarez. The musical will include Cher's biggest hits and will feature a book written by Rick Ellis, who was nominated for a Tony for writing the book to Jersey Boys. Reportedly, the musical will feature three different Chers. Oh my God, three Chers. One as a child, one while she was married to the late Sonny Bono, and another after she went solo and her career took off both as a recording artist and a screen actress. Ella said that the most difficult part of writing the show is that so much is already known about Cher's life. He told Riedel, "I was not a fanatical Cher fan, but when I started working on this show, I was surprised at how much I knew." The musical, which has been in the works for a number of years and Cher occasionally will cryptically tweet about, it was put on hold last year as Ellis took care of his husband, the great Roger Reese, as he fought brain cancer. 3 months after Reese passed away, Cher called Ellis and invited him to visit her in California and to begin working on the show again. James, what is your favorite Cher song?
If I Could Turn Back Time.
You had that one ready. I was not expecting you to come up with one that quickly. All right, good. Good for
it's
you.
Hard, it's hard to be a straight man in theater. But you got to have these things at your ready, you know?
I understand. I would have gone Gypsies, Tramps, and Thieves, but that's okay, too.
So the show was Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean. Jimmy Dean.
I knew it was Jimmy Dean and Five and Dime.
1982, Cher, Karen Black, Sandy Dennis, Kathy Bates. Oh, my goodness. Ruth Miller, Mark Patton. Wow, I love digging back into the IBDB. What a great, fun thing to do on a Friday night.
It's Tuesday night, but that's fine.
Well, you can do that with the kids.
Let's move on, James.
All right. So our Hamilton section is up next.
It is. We're going to go through this one real quick. But yesterday, Anthony Huger was indicted for selling and attempting to sell forged tickets to Hamilton. So all you Hamil fans can rest easy about getting expensive tickets on Craigslist, because Huger is off the streets. He attempted to scam Craigslist ticket finders or people looking for tickets on Craigslist for $150 a piece. I know people have been scammed at sporting events, but James, is this something that happens regularly in New York, like maybe for shows like Book of Mormon or The Producers? Is this something you guys have to deal with when going to the theater?
I'm such a bad target market for this.
I know, because you don't pay for tickets.
I sometimes do pay for tickets, but if I do buy tickets, it's kind of through the theater, the box office directly or something like that. But I haven't really heard of a lot of stories about this. For really popular shows, I guess the Book of Mormon, the Producers. I remember the Producers, there was a lot of talk about scalping, but not forged tickets and things like that. So I was going to say something about Cher before, and I was wondering...
Of course you were.
No, in relationship to why the story is happening right now. And I think it's because the Gloria Estefan show, On Your Feet, is doing so well. And it's a show that I totally didn't expect to enjoy, and I loved it. If you get a chance to go see On Your Feet, please do. It's so much fun.
Yeah, everything I've heard about the show is great, and I grew up, my parents love Gloria Estefan, and I've got some stories about my parents' attempts to go see her in concert that we can talk about later. But it was one of those shows that got 7 nominations with the Outer Critics Circle, so it's a show that's well-received both by fans and by critics alike.
Yeah. You know what? And thinking about the Forged Ticket things, you just mentioned going to concerts. I guess there were a lot of, like, when Bon Jovi was really big, a lot of fake Bon Jovi tickets and a lot of fake Bruce Springsteen tickets and Billy Joel tickets. But I don't think it was really big on Broadway at any point.
Yeah.
So let's move forward into recommendations.
All right. I've got a recommendation here. On Monday, we talked about one of my favorite podcasts, Reply All. And today I'm going to recommend another one of my favorite podcasts. That's WNYC's On the Media. You guys might be able to listen to it on terrestrial radio, but I live far away from New York, so I can't. So I listen to it on a podcast. Apparently, they are prepping to air a Shakespeare-themed episode on Friday. So yesterday they released a mini podcast video of co-host Brooke Gladstone walking around New York City, asking people on the street what comes to mind when she says Shakespeare, asking to recite some dialogue from Shakespeare. It was a really fun video. It's only 2 minutes, but it's kind of sweet, too. So check that out, and check out the full episode when it's released later this week.
Can we put a link to that in the show notes somewhere?
I have a feeling you know how to do that.
Well, I would need the link.
I am sure you have Google.
Well, aren't we getting snippy? All right.
I'll see if I can find it for you, James.
If we could turn back time,
oh, Lord.
I wouldn't ask you that again.
Oh, Lord.
All right, Matt, get us out of here.
Thank God. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Broadway Radio. You can find me on Twitter at BWW Matt. And
we've got a new Matt.
Seriously, who are you? Judy Gold making fun of me here? And I've got a new episode of Something Like It Pop coming out later today, so check it out. It might be out by the time you hear this.
And I am James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for listening. Please send us your feedback, and we will talk to you tomorrow.